Hello and welcome to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. This is a show that explores the landscape of the nonprofit organization, big and small, offers some incredibly helpful information and resources, and gives nonprofits a place to share ideas and get advice. I'm your host, Josh Hirsch. Our show is sponsored by Sukup Strategic Solutions, offering a wide variety of services to help nonprofits maximize their impact. So let's get into solving the problems that might be plaguing your nonprofit. Thanks for joining us again on Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Hirsch, and today we are joined by Tony Bell. Tony is a trusted and award-winning social enterprise leader, educator, author, and speaker celebrating over 20 years of diverse nonprofit experience. He has had the honor of serving organizations across the United States and internationally. His guidance and leadership have catapulted organizations to greater levels of sustainability, community engagement, and mission relevance. Tony leapt into the nonprofit sector in 1998 after a successful 12-year career with American Express. He has served nonprofit organizations in fundraising, operations, marketing, and senior leadership roles. Fast track to 2010 when Tony realized a vision and launched Mr. Nonprofit Consultancy. It's a consulting firm focused on social impact through the regional and global development of social enterprise. It is through his work as Mr. Nonprofit that he connected with National University in 2018 and soon became a full-time team member as the director of the Institute of Philanthropy. He currently serves National University as a senior director, Center for Development and Advancement at NU Academies. Tony has an undeniable passion for the nonprofit sector, social impact, and supporting the success of others. Tony resides in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we are very fortunate to have Tony join us here today. Welcome, Tony.
Oh, thank you so much, Josh. It's an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely. It's, you know, we've known each other, gosh, probably almost going on 15 plus years now. And what's nice is that we've built a nonprofit network. And that's what's so important when you're in the trenches. You might not be an expert in one specific area, but we know that there's someone we can reach out to. And that's why ongoing professional development is so important at no matter what role you are. So before we get into a little bit of today's topic, tell us some more about National University.
Yeah, so National University is a veteran-founded university based in San Diego, California. The university just celebrated 50 years of service, so we're really excited about that. And I have the honor of really supporting three very specific programs at National University, above and beyond the Fundraising Academy, which is my favorite, but don't tell anyone. But above and beyond the Fundraising Academy is our Harmony Academy. And Harmony is social-emotional learning curriculum for pre-K through six. So it's just great programs, really making a difference in the communities and the school districts where we're able to implement them.
That's wonderful. And it's organizations like yours that are able to take the passion and provide those educational opportunities, which we all know that we need. With today's topic, it's all relevant, you know, as we were talking before this, talking about what are the seeds of generosity and how do we truly cultivate a philanthropic mindset? And that can take a couple of different levels. So first, let's look at it from an employee perspective. Employee giving and employee philanthropy, you know, sometimes we're all often like shocked why, as working in a nonprofit organization, we're asked to donate to our own organization. So why is it important, Tony, for us to show up not just every day for work, but to show up with our wallets to support our missions?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a number of reasons why that's important. But before we go any further, I want us to kind of think about when we think of philanthropy and contributing to organizations that there are various ways in which to do that, right? And within the sector, we hear folks often talk about time, talent, or treasure, because those are three things that certainly nonprofit organizations find very valuable and can really help drive the mission forward and increase the relevance of the programs that are being implemented in the communities, you know, being served. When I was a senior leader at a nonprofit, instilling a sense of philanthropy within the organization, quite honestly, didn't necessarily mean contributing back to the organization that they worked for, but it was about them engaging in philanthropy in a way that helped them understand the donor experience. So whether, again, that's donating with money, time, or talent, just understanding what that donor experience is like is really meaningful for anyone that works for a nonprofit organization. Again, whether you're contributing to the organization that you work for or contributing and getting that experience from another organization.
I think you make a good point there, because if we're not walking in the shoes of our donor, we're not understanding how best to steward our donor. And we know that it's so much more important to retain our donors than have to go out there and find new ones. And it's almost like, kind of like corporate espionage, if you will. Like, you know, you're finding the holes in the system and making it better so that when we have a new donor or a current donor that isn't an employee, and we make sure that their experience is as great as possible for them.
Well, you know, we often talk about the fact that 501c3 is a tax status, not a business model, right? And so when you think about retention, all corporations, especially in retail sales, you know, want that ongoing client retention. So we would want the same, as you pointed out, Josh, with our donors. We want donor retention because it takes so much more investment in time and treasure to get a new donor than to retain one and move them up the giving ladder, so to speak.
And it takes that right mindset, because it starts with leadership. You know, if at the top, we don't have a leader who's driving with creating this sense of philanthropy. So what do you say are some tips, some recommendations for nonprofit leaders? And once again, a nonprofit leader doesn't necessarily need to have that title of being in C-suite, but leading from within. So you could be a middle manager, or you could be on the frontline staff and almost demonstrating those leadership qualities that others want to embody themselves. So what do you see are some great tips for us to get to that point?
Sure. Well, I always, I would encourage folks that, especially those working in the nonprofit sector and for a nonprofit organization, really to step outside of your organization for some of these experiences. Get a feeling of how others are stewarding donors, how others are managing volunteers and onboarding volunteers. You'll learn a lot of best practices through that experience. I'm a huge fan of volunteerism as team building. So with our team at National University, we have done team building exercises at nonprofits in Los Angeles, for example. We worked with an organization there. We brought the whole team in, and for the day, we worked at a food bank. So there's a lot of team building that takes place there. They got that sense of philanthropy through the investment of their time, and immediately saw the outcome of their input. We were putting together bags of groceries and sorting and that kind of stuff. So provide those types of opportunities for your team. If you can offer a full day off for your team members so they can have a day off to really invest in volunteerism, I think that's a huge benefit. I don't know the statistics, but I know I have read where that sort of employee engagement helps with employee retention, providing those kinds of opportunities. So I think you're right. It starts from the top in terms of the mindset, in terms of your top leadership being very authentic in their commitment to philanthropy and cultivating these seeds of generosity. But anyone can wear that hat and really help instill that mindset within their organization.
Being able to instill that mindset is important because we want to have high, you know, employee retention. You know, we don't want to see high turnover because then we're going through that cycle again of having to create that sense of philanthropy within the organization. You know, I think, you know, a great example is like a United Way employee giving, campaign.
Sure.
And where we see them going out into the community and having, you know, you get your Publixes, you get your large corporations, and even a dollar shows up. And I think that's what matters, is that sometimes whether you give a dollar or $100 or $1,000, just participating gets you into that sense of philanthropy and gets you part of that process. You know, you were talking about learning and going through it. So, you know, there's no competition in nonprofits. We're all doing great things out there. We all want to make the world better. So sometimes finding your quote unquote competitors and making a donation to them, it could be through your name, it could be through your dog's name, you know, so they don't know it's directly coming from you. But understanding the process from their mindset, how they're creating philanthropy, to be a unique thing to go through.
And when we think about, too, kind of the next generation of giving and the next generation of donors, I think it's important that we encourage this mindset in our workplaces so that then the younger generation, our children, our nieces, nephews, whomever we may be taking care of at a younger age bracket can see that, and we can model that behavior for them so that when they're presented with these opportunities to give of time, talent, and treasure, it's not unknown to them. It's a norm for them to think that way and want to contribute to our communities in that way.
I'm loving where this is going, Tony. You have such great insight, and we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to dig in a little deeper as what does it look like for fostering this sense for the next generation, because we know that we've been in here, we've been in, some of us, 15, 20 plus years working in the sector, but how do we create that mindset for the next generation? So tune in and we'll see you back in a few minutes.
One of the biggest challenges facing nonprofits today is securing grants. Where do I find information on grants? How do I write a grant? How do I submit the grant? And of course, the dreaded midnight deadlines. Hi, I'm Cheryl Sukup, and I've been there and done that. At Sukup Strategic Solutions, we have a team of expert grant writers with years of experience writing hundreds of grants for nonprofits just like yours. Visit our website today at sukupstrategicsolutions.com. Schedule a free consultation about your grant writing needs. We'd love to help you. That's S-O-U-K-U-P. strategicsolutions.com. Let's work together and get the grant that your nonprofit deserves.
Welcome back to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Hirsch, and we're speaking with Tony Bell about creating a philanthropic mindset and seeds of generosity for future generations. But coming up in a few minutes, we've got our next Coach's Corner segment. And on Coach's Corner today, we are going to be talking about what steps can we take to diversify our nonprofit's revenue streams. And I think that's really relevant to today's conversation about cultivating a philanthropic mindset, because we don't want to keep tapping the same well. We know that we need to identify other sources of revenue, but we also need to find those other sources of talent and time. So within our own organization, what are some ways that we can not just identify the next leaders, but identify those next trends to really engage and get that energy fired up from our employees?
That's a really good one. So how do we fire up our employees to get them to want to participate in philanthropy? Is that what you're thinking, Josh?
Yeah. I think, okay. You know, it's what is it, you know, just by saying, because you were talking about giving days off to go volunteer. And I think that's a unique policy that I've seen in some organizations, because philanthropy doesn't have to be through dollars. It could be through your chance of going to work, Habitat for Humanity, going to your local soup kitchen, because we all have passions, whether it's just beyond our own organization. So finding those and harnessing those passions to keep that mindset going throughout our employees.
Thank you for kind of helping me focus on that a little more clearly. And yes, and so in our organization, we do have that opportunity. There are days off that we can take to engage in our community, and folks take advantage of that. I think the important part of that, to bring it full circle, is that when team members do that and they engage in that type of day, for them to report back in some fashion, either at an all-staff meeting or at a team meeting, for them to share what their experience was like. Because I think that those testimonials will help motivate others that haven't necessarily engaged in the same way that that individual may have engaged. So even if you could just do a half a day, you know, I really encourage that. And again, kind of going back to my real life experience and experiences that were amazing, was looking at volunteer opportunities with the entire team and taking your entire team somewhere and engaging in a volunteer activity is super meaningful.
It's about modeling that behavior for others, and especially when you can do it in a situation where you're all volunteering in one action, because that's how you're going to get excited about philanthropy. Just because you're a fundraiser, just because, you know, your title is donor relations associate, that doesn't mean that you love what you do. That doesn't mean that you love philanthropy. You might just be showing up to do a job, but it's when you understand the power and that impact that you have as someone who's dedicated your whether it's your job, your career, or your life to working in the nonprofit sector, it really does make a difference, as we see, you know, when we go forward. So fast forward to 25, 30 years from now, you know, we're both retired and we see this next generation. What do we want the legacy to be for that, you know, continuance of philanthropic mindset? How are we going to ensure that they still are coming back around?
Well, I think that we need to take ownership in making sure that we're providing the tools for the next generation of donors, that we're providing them access and pathways and tools to be able to engage in philanthropy, again, whether it be time, talent, or treasure. So modeling behaviors and providing folks with access, pathways, and tools, I think are critical to ensure that the next generation of donors, philanthropists, can easily step in and participate. You know, I think often about points of entry for folks and, you know, and making sure that we're doing everything we can to make it as simple and easy for folks to engage as possible. Access, access, access.
And it's making sure that that access is low threshold, you know, so it's not ensuring that, okay, well, you have to spend $1,000 to go to this high-end gala. You know, you want to be able to provide opportunities that you can feel good about doing good. And that's what it matters.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, for sure. And then, of course, leaning into emerging technology, you know, it I think is another important piece for nonprofits, making sure they're leaning into emerging technology and again, providing those pathways, whether they're in person or through technology for folks to engage.
And that brings up a really good point, because barriers don't really exist as they used to because of technology. You know, you live in Florida, but spend a good bit of your time in San Diego and still are able to connect with philanthropic leaders from across the country without having to physically be in their home or having them come directly to San Diego. And it's going to allow us to continue this sense of philanthropy in the nonprofit sector by following the trends, by harnessing the technology, and knowing that overall, whether you're doing your time, talent, or treasure, you're making an impact for our sector.
And better yet, try to position yourself to where you are the trend versus following the trend, right? So really, you know, thinking creatively and thinking without barriers so that you become the trendsetter versus the person that's following the trend.
I like that a lot. It's like, you know, being ahead of the game before the game catches up to you. And in order to do that, we need to constantly be educating ourselves. So that means attending webinars, going to professional development conferences, reading blogs, you know, reading the latest research in this sector, knowing that whether, you know, what are those new hot trends in technology? What are those, you know, tried and true? Things don't change. Direct mail doesn't change. DAFs are a great new giving vehicle, but that sense of a managed fund isn't necessarily new. So what are you within your own organization going to not only push the philanthropy from your own donors, but also push that philanthropy from a employee mindset so they want to get behind it, so they're supporting and not just showing up to a job, but showing up each day to something that they truly believe in?
Right. And this is probably a whole different topic for another conversation, but we tend to be, this is just generally speaking, in this sector, we tend to be risk adverse. We tend not to do things that are too risky. And part of that comes from our strong desire to be good stewards of our donors' dollars, right? And so we tend to be a little less risky because we want to be exceptional stewards of the gifts that we receive. But our organizations aren't going to grow. Our outcomes aren't going to grow in the way that they could if we continue to minimize our ability to take risks.
And those organizations that do take the risks, I feel like the ones that are going to rise to the top. So, you know, I was at a networking event for the Association of Fundraising Professionals, my local chapter here a couple of weeks ago, and we were hosted at the Community Foundation, and someone said, how many have a donor advised fund or how many has their own fund and endowment at the Community Foundation? And so few hands raised, you know, went up. And it was shocking to me that, yes, it takes some risk to lock up a significant portion of dollars. Some organizations, it could be a minimum of 10,000, some it could be a minimum of 50,000. And that's a lot of money, you know, depending on how your scale of raising funds each year, but knowing that you are investing in your future. So when you're talking about planting those seeds of generosity to cultivate a philanthropic mindset, it's planning for the future. It's allowing your organization to take those risks and acting like a business, taking investments in yourself, having a Good Steward of the Dollar, which is a community foundation, to manage that DAF, that donor advised fund, or an endowment. Those are the ways that you yourselves, you know, will really grow. Because in some instances, you could start a DAF for yourself. I know that's kind of like a little wishy-washy, some gray area there, whether you move into the world of endowment or a DAF itself, but not an attorney, consult your legal department. But it's ways that you can direct your funds to grow those funds themselves, but know that you're planning for the future, that you're allowing yourselves to grow and take those risks. This has been wonderful, Tony. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. If we want to learn more about you, learn more about you know, the university, where can we find you online?
Well, I'm definitely very active on LinkedIn. So please, you know, look for me on LinkedIn. I think you can search me through my name or Mr. Nonprofit. I think you can find me on LinkedIn via that as well. So please, I love engaging with folks in the community and I love supporting others' success. So if there's anything I can do to help others succeed, I'm totally here for it.
Take him up, people. Look him up on LinkedIn. There's nothing wrong with, you know, making a new connection. Because as I always said, and as we started off this conversation today, it's about having a network. It's about knowing who you can tap into, who you can reach out to from time to time as other thought leaders, and that you have to realize that we're not going to be able to do it all. And having that strong network is going to allow you to build that philanthropic mindset within yourself and within your organization. Really appreciate you joining us today, Tony. Thanks again. And tune in next time to Impactability, the Nonprofit Leaders Podcast.
Time for another edition of Coach's Corner. This is where we put our impact coaches to the test. We ask the questions that you sent us to give them. They've got 5 minutes to answer it. And these questions are great, so thank you for sending them in. If you haven't sent us one already, please, by all means, do so. Our address is impactcoaches@impactability.net. Today's question is, what steps can we take to diversify our nonprofit's revenue stream? Cheryl, you have 5 minutes to answer the question, and your time begins right now.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Sukup, the president of Sukup Strategic Solutions. And to answer your question, I think the first thing you should do is review your income over the last 5 years and identify the sources of income and relative percentages. So consider whether these percentages have changed over time over the past 5 years, and if so, what are the trends and what's causing them? Also consider whether any of the sources of funding that have decreased in the last 5 years could reasonably be increased to meet or surpass past levels. Then identify the risks to each of the current sources of funding. For example, if you receive government funding, are there legislative changes that might put those at risk that are impending? So for instance, a few years back, we had the Family First Prevention Services Act, which prioritized placing children in the most family-like setting. And although, you know, the federal government acknowledged that for some children, a therapeutic group home or some kind of therapeutic congregate care would be most appropriate, when those new requirements came through for that congregate care, that affected organizations that provided that type of care. And they had to be very mindful going forward that they may lose some of their census. So that would affect their income. And in addition, it could affect their expenses as they had to put new things into place. So thinking about how your funding sources have to adapt to any kind of changes that are external to your organization. Another example would be, are there budgetary cuts that affect your service delivery, such as state allocations that are earmarked for things? So for instance, if a state allocation is earmarked to reduce waiting lists, and that could create an opportunity for you that to receive additional funding, that's great. But sometimes there are allocations that reduce taking people off of waiting lists or administrative rules that result in adjustments to reimbursement rates. Sometimes those reimbursement rates actually go down or services are eliminated altogether. An example would be services for adults with developmental disabilities in the state of Florida have a long history of being increased and then cut again and increased and cut again. And people are taken off the waiting list and then the waiting list grows again. And those variations usually result in changes to the nonprofit organizations that serve those individuals, changes to their budget. So if you know, and a lot of times you'll know those things are coming. So if you know that those things are coming, then that is, first of all, one reason to diversify is that you will be less impacted by those fluctuations. But sometimes you will know those fluctuations are about to come and you can factor that into your planning. So when you're trying to diversify, consider which new opportunities are coming along that might be expected to impact your budget in the coming year. So one thing I mentioned was when there's an opportunity for people to come off of a waiting list or an allocation that's coming through the government that you might be eligible to take advantage of. Some other opportunities, some other examples might be you might have an upcoming accreditation or licensure that will make your organization eligible for new funding sources that you weren't previously eligible for. Another way is to grow or expand your donor base. That's something that really any nonprofit can do. You might extend or expand relationships with corporate partners, and that might be a source of new income for you. So there's some ongoing new sources of funding that could help you. Others might be one-time or temporary sources, but they can help you diversify in the short term. So an example might be the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 that created temporary funding opportunities to help the country recover from the pandemic. And a lot of nonprofits were able to take advantage of that. It was only a short-term diversification, but still it created a lot of opportunity. Another would be a planned gift. So if you are expecting a planned gift to be realized in the upcoming year, then that could be another opportunity that's short-term. Grant research might uncover new grant opportunities, and sometimes these are multi-year opportunities or renewable funding, but some funders are pretty strict about wanting only to offer one-time grants, and they're not renewed year after year. So that could represent either ongoing diversification or a one-time or short-term diversification. As you're considering how these potential changes could change the balance of your funding streams, you can develop a plan to long-term increase revenue streams that are feasible for you. So for some organizations, it means building a grants program where you're really creating more of a focus on researching grant opportunities and consistently applying for the opportunities that are a good fit for you. Another is, as I mentioned before, expanding your donor base and investing more time, more resources, more staff, and volunteers into expanding your donor base and really working with donors. And one way to increase your average gift size is to really put a focus on major gifts. If you don't have a major gifts program and your organization is ready for that, that's another way that you can begin to diversify your income. If you're really focused on grants, if a lot of your income is coming from grants or program revenue or contracts, being able to expand your donor base for individual giving and expand or establish a major gifts program can be really a game changer. And then if you don't already have a planned giving program, that's another way to diversify your funding. You don't always know when those gifts are going to come in, but by establishing a program and continually working on planned giving is going to give you more of an opportunity to see a steady stream of those gifts coming in over time. And then also, if you don't already receive program fees or have some kind of earned income, you could look at that as a source of income that you want to add. So some organizations have program fees that they charge, or they might have contracts or sliding scales for fee for service. So those are some possibilities. Other types of income that would be earned would be thrift store revenues and other income that's generated from volunteer labor. Then some organizations even have unrelated business income. So they have a side business that provides some revenue that they direct into the nonprofit business. So those are all some areas that will allow you to increase and diversify your income. There's always some risk that any of these funding sources wouldn't be renewed, even individual gifts. Sometimes donors stop giving. But if you are continually focused on diversification, for most sources of funding, if one type of funding stream starts to dry up or is adversely affected by some changes that are out of your control, then diversification can help to create a more balanced mix, and reduction in any one source can be balanced out or buffered by an increase in another area. So those are my suggestions, and I appreciate the opportunity to share them with you. Thank you, Josh.
Cheryl, thanks for joining us on Coach's Corner and sharing your knowledge and expertise on what steps can we take to diversify our nonprofit's revenue streams. Thanks for joining us today. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter at impactability.live. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. That way you'll get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. Also, please give us a review or a rating so that your peers in the nonprofit industry can find us as well. I'm Josh Hirsch. Thanks for listening, and thank you for all you do to make the world a better place through your nonprofit.